be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm leading, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reaching God.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program intended to find answers from the Bible. The Bible is referred to by many, but not strictly followed in everything. Our focus is to let the Bible speak in all matters that have to do with life and godliness. This is a live broadcast where you set the theme and you ask the questions. We'll look to God's Word for the answers. Go ahead, pick up the phone and call 308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And as you call, you can have your question written down and it be read on the air. Or you could be put on hold and then ask your question live on the air. So write this number down, 843-308-9564. If it's busy, call again as soon as someone hangs up. The purpose of Let the Bible Speak is to promote a return to the Bible as the only standard of right, and to find answers from God's Word alone. That will enable us to find the true way to heaven. The true way can only be found in the Bible. If you desire to please God alone, if you believe the Bible has all the answers for life and godliness, then you come to the right spot on the dial. Now, join Nick and Ricky as we look to God for answers from His Word and let the Bible speak.
Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, it is our pleasure to be with you. It's our honor. We consider it a privilege to be able to share God's Word with you. Again, this is a live radio call-in broadcast. So if you have a question and you are seeking a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and call in right now. That number is 308-9564, 308-9564. Today we want to talk about the subject of sin. You know, what is sin? What is it really? You know, the Bible says in the book of Romans, the third chapter, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because the Bible is clear that we all have sinned, knowing what sin is should be something that we absolutely want to know. This is a subject that is worthy of our consideration. Again, while we consider this subject, if you have a question that's on your heart and you desire to get a Bible answer, we encourage you to go ahead and call in. We'll be more than happy to interrupt our discussion and go to God's Word to answer your question. Again, that number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564.
We are a live broadcast today, and we do want you to know you can call in right now your questions, and we'll be glad to let the Bible address those answers. We hopefully will stay out of God's way and allow only God's Word to be found for the answer. Thus, the name of this program is Let the Bible Speak. And so we do want you to know that that is so important, that we find out what God has to say on the questions on your heart, and thus we'll be showing ourselves approved unto God. God says, give diligence or study to show ourselves approved unto God. And thus we must go there for the answer. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, that is back then, 2,000 years ago, then if we anything else that's been taught, they are to be accursed. Anathema is the word there. So if we come up with something new, or if you hear somebody come up with something new, then that is not what God wants. And thus, God's determination on that is that that is not just sin, but that person is worthy of anathema, which means ultimate condemnation, accursed. And so we do want you to know. You'll be our friend if you will help us if we happen to say something or do something that is not in accord with God's Word. Then we must look to God for the answer and show ourselves approved unto Him. So that is the purpose of our program today, and we hope you will call in your question right now. The number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. We've been started the broadcast today talking about sin. By the way, the lines are now available. Go ahead and call in, 308-9564. And when we Bible talks about sin, there are a number of clear definitions. In James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Also, we know the Bible talks about if someone transgresses and goes beyond the doctrine of Christ, then again, that is sin. We've got to stick with, thus says the Lord, if we're going to be pleasing to him. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, "And he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatsoever is not from faith is sin." And so we've got to establish our faith from God's word, and to speak as the Bible speaks, or that in itself becomes sin. I believe we have a caller that wants to ask their question live on the air. And okay, your caller, are you there? Yes, how can we help you?
Yes, when a person dies or get killed, is that person have to go or not?
Oh, okay, you're asking, is it God's a selective providence that every man goes in their selected time? Okay, all right. Well, thank you for calling in your question, and we will look to God's word for that answer right now. We would like to maybe direct you, first of all, to the book of Hebrews, where it brings out that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so we must go understand that it's, first of all, that we only die one time, and so it's not a matter of coming back and then dying again and coming back and dying again. After we do die, then the only thing that is ahead of that person would be that of judgment. Now, as far as God's selected time, as far if God is the one that is causing this or the mastermind behind all the times when people die, I would direct you to James chapter 1 and verse 17, where it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And thus the only good gifts come from him." As far as tragedies, as far as illnesses, accidents, or even terrorism and such as that today, that is not part of God's plan. That is not what he has is in control of. He has decided that there are certain things that just happen. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, that time and chance happen to everyone. And so there are things that happen by time. There are things that happen through a process of chance. And then he is the one that is responsible for good gifts, perfect gifts. They come from above when he says every good gift. And so that wouldn't necessarily be from God. If an accident happened like that, it would not be from his doing. It would be part of, could be time, it could be chance, and those are events, ways events occur as well. That was Ecclesiastes 9:11 and James chapter 1 and verse 17, where it says, he is only responsible for good and perfect gifts. I hope that helps.
We have another question. Before I read this question, though, let me go ahead and remind our listeners that this is a live broadcast. Lines are open. If you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. Now, this caller says, when the Bible says not to forsake all for husband, does it mean that the woman should leave family? Or perhaps it means that they should forsake all for the husband. Does it mean that women should leave family and everything behind for the husband? Well, you don't find that language in the scripture, this idea of forsake all as it pertains to the husband. But what you do find is in Matthew chapter 19 is this concept of the husband or the man should leave his father and mother. And it makes sense that this would be applicable to the woman. In Matthew the 19th chapter, in Matthew chapter 19, picking up in verse 4, the Bible said, "And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said this, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And so the thought is that, again, in marriage, you would leave your family, and if that's what some people mean by leaving everything behind, well, then yes, you leave your immediate family and be joined to your spouse, be it your husband or your wife. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 19, but he gets this. So this is actually a quote from Genesis chapter 2, where God ordains or put marriage in place. And again, he says the same thing. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That idea of being one flesh. They're united. So they're not going back to mom and daddy and pulling mom and daddy into their marriage. But the idea is that they are dedicated. They are united to with one another. They're committed to one another. That's the intent.
Okay, very good. That's a very good question. I don't know, can't remember that coming up before, and so we appreciate you calling in. We do want you to know, as you call in, especially if you want to go live, we do want you to give us your name so we can address you by name. We sure would appreciate that. And if you do want to ask your question live over the air, we ask that you would turn your radio down so there would not be that delay or an echo that would make communicating very confusing. And so that was, there's two things that we ask when you do want to go live, and we do appreciate your name as well. We want you to also be aware of that we have a free service that we'd be glad to send to you, a correspondence course. But let's take a quick break right now, and then we'll be right back to give you the information of how to call in your question right now. This is a live broadcast, and here are the details about that. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take a moment to write this number down, 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air, or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
We've been talking today about this idea of sin. What is sin? We started the broadcast today by talking about Romans chapter 6 and verse Romans 3:23, which says that all have sinned. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 said that the wages of sin is death. So what is sin? Well, sin actually leads to death. And the Bible shows that we're all guilty of it, hence the reason why this subject should be important to you and I. What is sin? Ricky mentioned earlier that sin is a transgression of God's law. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, that's where you'll find that passage. The Bible says, 1 John 3 and verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, or it's a transgression. And sin is lawlessness. It is to go beyond what God says. It is to do what you do without authority. And thus God will hold us accountable for such behavior. You know, in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. And so God does not want us to transgress his law, but rather he wants us to do exactly what he says. In verse 22, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And there's that word again. Here is a person that has practiced something that God has not authorized. Here's a person that's practiced something that God has not commanded. Again, to join us right now, you can, 308-9564, 308-9564.
We have Kiana calling in. Thank you for calling in to clarify concerning the question before. And she was wanting to know in reference to things that are happening against God's will, and can anything happen that isn't part of God's will, or all things work together for good? Well, Kiana, very good question, and let me appeal to you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, for we know that all things work together for good, but the verse goes on, to them that love God and that are called according to his purpose. And so, yes, there are things when someone belongs to God, that is, they love God, they have been called by the Word of God to become a child of God, they belong to him. Yes, all things work together for good. Even tragedies can be turned into good things happening. But does God cause those evil things to occur? No. James chapter 1, we went over that just a minute ago, that only good gifts come from above, perfect gifts come from him. And with whom there is no shadow of turning, which means there is no wiggle room in this. When God says that, that's exactly the way it happens. A lot of times people get to thinking, but because God is all-powerful, that he must be in control of everything. Well, he is all-powerful, and he is all-knowing, and he is omnipresent, which means he can be anywhere he chooses to be. Psalm 139, if you want to read that chapter, the first six verses talk about his
his all-knowingness. And then the next six verses talk about his omnipresence. And then starting with verse 13, we see his power, his all-powerfulness. And thus, he's described there in terms that we cannot even begin to imagine how powerful and knowledgeable he is. But does that make him responsible for evil? No. Or for tragedies? Absolutely not. Could he stop them? Absolutely. Does he choose to? No, because he is holy and he is love. And he wants us to choose to love him. He could snap his fingers right now and turn every one of us into mindless automatons that would fall down and worship him 24 hours a day. But why doesn't he do that? Because he's given us a free will to choose. Why? Because he is love. If think about you and your sweetheart, whoever you may be, and remember the very first time you met. If you had given your sweetheart love potion number 9, and thus you drug her or him into loving you, would you consider that long-term fulfilling? Would you consider that love? Well, no, because love, in order to be fulfilling, must be freely given. We understand that. We figured that one out ourselves. Well, God himself is love. And so if we can figure out, in order for love to be fulfilling, then it must be freely given, then obviously God knows that, and we need to recognize that. That's why he has given us his free will to choose to love him or to be influenced by evil. We do want you to know that this is so very important, and it's a foundation. God does not turn us into puppets to make us do all things according to his will.
Yeah, that's one other point I'd like to make just along that line. And before I make that point, I want to go ahead and tell listeners again, the lines are open. So go ahead and call if you have a question, 308-9564, 308-9564. Caller, if you're still there, I want to call your attention over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 10. The Bible shows us that there is a will of God that is just not dependent upon God, but rather is dependent upon us. And so sometimes what we think is that if something's in the will of God, then absolutely it's God's fault that it didn't happen. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, what you'll see is that here's a passage that says there is something that God wills, but it's dependent upon you. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and elements melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, the Bible talks about destruction that's going to befall the earth. Now, who is that going to happen to? Well, those who don't live right in the sight of God. But is that really what God wants? Well, if we go back up to verse 9, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance." It is absolutely God's will that nobody perish. But now will some perish? And who fault is that? Is that now God's fault? Or is it my fault? Because God, as Ricky said earlier, has given me a chance to make a choice. Hope this is helpful to you. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. It's time for us to take another break. I want to encourage you to go ahead and listen closely to the information that's about to be given. We're going to be talking about some free material that you can get in the mail. Again, you can call while we're at break. That number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
You know, we cannot encourage you enough to really consider enrolling into the correspondence course if you're looking to learn more about the Scriptures. Again, it is absolutely free, you know, and again, it's designed to help you get a better understanding of the Word of God. And so, again, if you're looking for in-home study, something that you can do according to your own time, to work at your own pace, go ahead and call the operator standing by. Again, that number is 553-5157. 553-5157.
We've been talking about sin today, and a lot of times people will redefine sin, or when it comes down to small little sins, they will say, well, this sin is not bad at all, and they'll say, well, this sin is terrible, and they will start ranking sins according to what they believe is bad and good. And when you look in the Bible, as it starts defining what sins are, for example, the one that comes to mind is Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, there's a whole list of horrible sins that people would say these are very horrible sins. And thus, included in that list would be sexual sins. It would have been, it mentions envy and murder, evil-mindedness. But then in the middle of this list, it mentions whisperers. That would be gossiping, backbiters. Then it mentions haters of God. Yeah, everybody would agree that's a bad sin. Violent, yeah, bad sin. But proud? Well, now that's actually highly esteemed in our society today. Boasters? Well, that is too. Inventors of evil things? Well, you see what we do? We take this list and we'll say, well, this one's not so bad, and this one is really bad. Well, right in the middle of this, it goes on into verse 30. He says, disobedient to parents. Well, now, that's not bad, people would say. But who gives us the right to redefine sin? The last verse of that chapter, it says, who knowing the righteous judgments of God, that they who practice such things are worthy of death. You mean disobedient to parents is a death penalty? Yes, my friend, it is a death penalty. Every sin is a death penalty. Romans 3 and verse 23, the wage of sin is death. And so we have got to understand that when it comes down to sin, there is no such thing as a not-so-bad sin. Whenever we sin, we are breaking our relationship with God. We are becoming His enemy and becoming worthy of death. Gossip? Yes. Disobedient to parents? Yes. Proud? Haughty? Yes. We've got to just let God become our total focus and do things His way. Again, you can join us right now. The number, the lines are open, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and you can call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart, 308-9564.
You know, at some point, you have to question, you have to ask the question, you know, why is this such a critical subject? Well, the Bible shows us that sin does something between man's relationship and God's relationship. The Bible shows that sin actually caused a separation. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, that word iniquities, there's the idea of wickedness. Your wickedness have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. Sin causes separation between man and God. You remember back in Genesis, the 6th chapter, where Adam and Eve walked with God there in the garden. They had access to Him in the garden. And why did God drive them from the garden? Why were they allowed to or sent away from the garden? Why did that occur? Because of sin. Sin causes this separation between man and God. God doesn't want us to sin. God wants us to be right in his sight. And it's so important for us to recognize what sin is. Sin is a separator. Again, if you'd like to join us right now in our discussion, you can. 308-9564. 308-9564. I believe we have a question.
Yes, we have Irene calling this question. Irene, it's a very touching question. It says, if a man or woman is not right in mind and they commit suicide, will God hold it against them? Well, first of all, Irene, I want you to know that we are not the judge. God is the judge, and he will be judging righteously. And all we can do is to look to the Bible to see what the Bible has to say. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, it talks about sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. And so we will answer for our own sin. But if someone is not right, can they sin against God? If they cannot comprehend God, they do not understand God, then they cannot sin against God. We've just noted several definitions of sin in the Bible. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Romans 14 and verse 23, the idea of that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so if someone does not have the ability to have a faith in God, then certainly they cannot sin against God. And so that is the way that the Bible talks about sin, and that is they've got to be of mind. And God, if we're not exactly right on this, God is a righteous God, and nobody will be in hell that doesn't deserve to be there. And in like manner, no one will be in heaven that doesn't deserve to be there. God is righteous, and he's the one that will be able to answer that. He's going to be the judge, and he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, while we're talking about that, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it brings out that the word of God is quick or alive and sharper than any two-edged sword that is able to divide between soul and spirit. It's able to divide between joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so if we approach God's word with the right heart, with the right intent, with the right obedient spirit, John 7 and verse 17 says, if any man wills to do his will, he shall know. Then when we approach God's word, then we can sort those things out. But we have to approach it with the kind of spirit of obedience and letting God discern and to clear up things that may have gone confusing in our hearts. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says. And so I don't know if that covered all the what you had in mind in your question, Irene, but we sure do appreciate. And if you know someone that has done that, when we mourn with you and are so sorry that you're having to go through that. But again, God's word is able to discern those things if we will just let ourselves be subject to what God says in his word. The number here, 308-9564. You can call in your question right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. We have one line available right now, so go ahead and call in, 308-9564, before the lines get full or we get too many questions to handle before the end of the program. So go ahead and call in your question now.
Yeah, this call comes in from Marie. We have another caller. She says, if worship can be sin, like if it isn't according to the Bible, can your worship actually be sinful? Well, Marie, that's a good question. I think that's a question that we should all ask. You know, can our worship be sinful? Well, first example perhaps we see of such a thing is in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel. In Genesis, the fourth chapter, we see that both Abel and Cain offered up sacrifice in an attempt to worship God, to reconnect with him. And one God received, the other one God did not receive. The Bible says Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock, and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. That's Genesis 4 and verse 4. And verse 5, the Bible says, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you and should rule over you. Here you have both Abel and Cain offering up worship by way of sacrifice. One was accepted, one was not accepted. Cain was not accepted, but why? Well, in 1 John chapter 3, 1 John the 3rd chapter, and verse 11, the Bible says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. So here you have Cain absolutely offering up a worship to God, but his worship was sin. Notice also one other passage in Matthew the 15th chapter. In Matthew chapter 15, here Jesus talks about a group of folks and their worship. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7, he calls them hypocrites. He says, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. He says, but in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. So here in this example, we find that worship can be vain, the idea of empty, the idea of worthless, in the sense that, again, we're teaching as the doctrine, or teaching really essentially as God's word, the teaching or the doctrine of men. And so we're doing something that we should not be doing. We're teaching something that we should not be teaching, and thus that can equate to sinful worship. Something we want to be careful of. Very, very good question. Again, if you'd like to join us, you can. 308-9564. 308-9564. It's time for us to take another break. But even while we're at break, if there's a question on your heart and you're seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and call right now. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
We do want you to know that that is completely free, and that which we send in the mail is always free. And so that is something that we are honored to be able to send to you. It is a way that you can study the Bible 24/7 during the middle of the night if you'd like. Both the written course that you receive in the mail, you can study it anytime you choose, or you can call for a different message each day. And that number again is 553-5157. That call, the line does not have call waiting, so if it's busy, go ahead and just pause a moment or two and then hit redial, and you can get through to enroll in that course. That's 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. Now we're talking about today, a number of good questions have come in today, but our theme has been along the line of sin and what people have done with sin and what people have have not done with sin, because sin is something that we are supposed to repent of and give our life to, continually changing our hearts and our minds to, so that we can show ourselves approved unto God, to confess our sins. And then he, if we are a child of God, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have Ben calling in, a frequent listener, and so we're thankful that you're listening again today. And he asked concerning Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, explain, and those things as they were. Well, let's look at the verse. This is talking about the righteousness of Abraham and how that he was accounted righteous because of his faith. In verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith that he might be according to, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure of all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, verse 17. By the way, you can go ahead and call in your question right now. The lines are available, 308-9564. And that would, you can ask your question, 308-9564. Now to Ben's verse. That's Romans 4 and verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, quote unquote, in the presence of him who, whom he believed, even God who gave life to the dead and calls those which do not exist as though they did exist. The implication there is. And thus God is able, he is omnipresent, and thus he is able to go anywhere at any time. He can look into the future and see what's going to happen. He prophesied hundreds of things concerning his son coming into the world. He prophesied the rise and fall of nations. And also here, he is able to look in and see into the future things that are going on. And also, he can look into the past. He has a full recollection of everything that everybody has ever said or done, and thus he will be able to judge us rightly and justly. And thus, if he didn't have that ability, then we might be able to call in question his just judgment. But because he does have that ability, he can call those things as though they were, as if he could see them right now. He has an instant, complete recall of past, present, and future. Again, I would send you to Psalm 139, almost the whole chapter, and you'll see all those details about how great and majestic and knowledgeable God is. That's Psalm 139 to see how vast his knowledge is. You can call in your question right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
You know, Ricky, I thought I might chime in a little bit on this idea of God knowing all things with another passage that may throw a little, a wrench in the gear, so to speak. You kept pointing out that God has the ability to see these things, and absolutely. And I think what most people may be hearing is that God just naturally sees these things, but he has the ability to see these things, and thus he chooses to see these things. And I think we take for granted that he just always chooses to see these things. But is it possible for God to choose not to see these things? And so I'll call your attention, listeners, to Jeremiah the 19th chapter, because here we'll find a situation where God chose not to know something. And I know that's something different. You may not have never heard that. But in Jeremiah the 19th chapter, in verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 5, here Jeremiah is talking about, again, wicked people. And it says, they have also built the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offering to Baal. When God says, which I did not command or speak, nor did it come into my mind. So God speaks of something that did not come into his mind. Now, I don't know how we take that. Do we take that to mean that it did not come into God's mind, or do we take God here as lying? Now, I literally believe that what God says here is true. There was something that did not come into his mind. And so sometimes, just because God has the ability to know all things, doesn't mean that he chooses to know all things. Again, if you'd like to join us, you can in this discussion, 308-9564. 308-9564. I believe we have a caller that wants to go live.
Yes, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How can
we help? Yes, I am full and saved with the Holy Ghost, and My question today is, by the grace of God, I know all of us fall short of the glory of God, and I have been trying to pray, and I'm not praying like the way I'm supposed to be praying, and I'm not serving him the way I'm supposed to be serving, but I was praying, and I was asking him if y'all have any scriptures, verses, wherein I've heard a lot of spiritual people and pastors and ministers where people saying that, you know, if you be still and you be quiet, that the Father up in heaven, that he speaks to you and silent. And I have been trying to read a little scripture on, I think I heard somebody said a couple of scriptures in Genesis for me to read. But sometimes I say, you know, I go on my knees and I pray and I ask God. I say, Lord, I say, you know, sometimes he might be talking to me and I don't realize he's talking to me. I just want to get a little bit of understanding on, you know, how would I would do that to get God to just speak to me and I can listen to him by the grace of God.
Well, okay. Well, I appreciate your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer right now.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for listening. The Galatians chapter 1 is where I would like for everyone in the audience to consider. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul brings out that he, of course, being inspired of God in verse 1, you can see it starts with his name. When you get to verse 8, he says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, there, if Paul says any new message, any new information, any new revelation that was spoke back then that individual is to be accursed. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you, any other message, any other salvation, any other revelation, then they are to be accursed. Now, it was so important. You'll notice in verse 9, he repeats himself. And why does God repeat himself? For the sake of emphasis. That's exactly right, to make certain that we do not miss it. And in verse 9, he repeats himself about this. He said, as I said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So not once but twice God says that we must not listen to any other message, inspiration, any kind of teaching, supposedly from God, that is not in God's Word. For 2,000 years now, we've been appealing, looking to, and finding what God wants us to find in God's, in His Word. And thus, we need to stick with that. And if we do not, we will be accursed. And so, as far as finding a new revelation or God speaking new information to someone today that's not in His Word, well, I would say run. Don't walk away from an experience like that. I do not want that curse, and neither do you, I'm sure. We must find the answers in God's Word. Now, how do we know we have all the answers here? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped to every good work. And so we have all things that pertain to life and godliness right here in His Word. And thus we need to find the answers here. And when we look to there, we will be able to find what God wants us to find. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who's called us by glory and virtue. So we have all things that pertain to life and godliness in His Word. Now, if we've got it all, is there anything left? And so if we're sitting back and waiting on some kind of special revelation from God, that God is going to single me out to give me a special message, well, then really, doesn't that make God a respecter of persons? And we know, not once, but several times in the New Testament, we see that God is no respecter of persons. He will not single one individual out for special revelation and then not give that same information to everyone. I hope that has been helpful to you. We must go to the Bible for the answer, and thus the name of this program is Let the Bible Speak.
We're going to take a quick break. We've got another question on deck, and we're going to get to that right when we get back. But we do want you to know you can call in your question even while we're at break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Again, if you would like to join us, you can call in right now your question. Again, time is running out, so you want to go ahead and call in 308-9564. 308-9564. Now, Deborah makes this call and asks this question. She says, does judgment start after death or during the return of Christ? Well, Deborah, we appreciate you calling in. Again, appreciate your listening. I'll call your attention to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. I believe we used this passage earlier. Hebrews 9, verse 27, where the Bible says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. As I'm reading that text, it almost sounds like, well, after I die, I'm going to be in the judgment. But there's other scripture that lets us know that the judgment simply will come later, that God has specifically appointed a day to execute judgment. I call your attention to Acts the 17th chapter and verse 31. In Acts the 17th chapter and verse 31, the Bible says, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given us assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And so Acts 17, verse 31 says that God has appointed a day. Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. He speaks of a day that God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And so again, God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world. But for you and I, the day that I die, you know, that's it for me. I don't get an opportunity to come back and try to do things over. At that point, I sit and I wait for judgment. So the next thing that I'm going to see will be judgment. I will stand before God and give an account for the things that I've done. And so, prior to death, we need to get ourselves right. We need to make sure that I'm living right in the sight of God. In fact, if for those of you who are listening today and maybe you're questioning whether you are right in the sight of God, if you need some information on that, go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157, 553-5157. But if you'd like to join us here in our discussion, maybe you have a question, then call
308-9564. And that's how to ask your question here, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart. We had Ben call back just now and said he had a comment about the lady who called just a minute ago. And how to know if God is speaking is the only way to know that is through the Word of God, so that she has to get into God's Word and let the Bible speak to all the questions that are on her mind. And so, Ben, you're exactly right there, and that's the purpose of this program, because there are so many things that people have come up with that will speak this and speak that, and they'll say that God is speaking to them. Well, I mean, how can we overlook Galatians chapter 1? That we are an angel from heaven, do not have the right to change this. This is it. What they had back then is exactly what we should have today.
God is, and think about it just for a second, those of you that are pondering this, could God judge righteously if he kept on changing the rules? Well, yeah, you've got the point there. That's right. He could not. How could he judge righteously if he gave one rule to John and one rule to Ben and one rule, another rule to Mary? And of course, that's just where this religious world has gotten into all this trouble. You drive down the street, you will find every kind of church you can think of on every corner wherever you go. And they come up with all these different things. And even in the paper, you see at big ads, sometimes full-page ads, devoted to join the church of your choice. My friends, it is not our choice. It is God's choice. We will stand before one judge, and he will use one law to judge us by. His law, the Word of God. And we've had that now for 2,000 years, and it's about time. We better dig into it to find the answers so that we can stand approved in his sight, not our own. Thank you, Ben, for verifying that. And I hope everyone knows that that's the intent of this program, to let the Bible speak, that we might find the answers to what God wants, not the answers to what we want. Not what the church wants, not what the Pope wants, not what the synod, the doctrine, our congregation, nor our pastor, but what does God want? And when we find that answer, that's the answer that will give us the crown of life that we'll enjoy for an eternity. The number, 308-9564. You can call right now. If you hurry, we'll be able to get your question on.
Today we began our discussion talking about sin and how important it is for you and I to make sure that we see sin for what it is. You know, what is sin? We talked about sin being death. We talked about sin being lawlessness. It is to transgress God's law, to go beyond what God says. God has set a boundary for us, 2 John verse 9, and that boundary is within the doctrine. God would not have us go beyond that. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, though we or an angel from heaven should preach any other gospel, Paul says, let him be a curse or anathema, eternally condemned. And so the Bible is very clear that I have to do what God says, and to do anything else is sin. And I need to be cognitive, or I need to be aware of what the punishment for sin is. I take you back to the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, wherein man had gotten to a point where they were consumed by sin. And here's a loving God, a loving Father, contemplating, not just contemplating, but has concluded that he's going to destroy the entire world because of sin. In Genesis chapter 6, picking up in verse 5, the Bible says, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry, the Bible says, that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart because of sin. He was grieved. Do you think he was only grieved then, or do you think he's grieved today because of sin? And the Bible said in verse 7, so the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. God was going to destroy all living creatures because of sin. The Bible shows how in the very next verse that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. You know, you and I can find grace in the eyes of God when we do just like Noah. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, and verse 22, that thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah actually obeyed God. And when we obey God, you and I can find grace and favor in his eyesight. And we don't have to be fearful of the day when he returns. But in fact, we can look upon it with fond anticipation, knowing that we're doing what he says to do, knowing that we can acquire forgiveness of our sins, knowing that we can be right in his sight. That's the mentality we ought to have. If you'd like to join us in our discussion, there's just a few minutes left. Go ahead and call right now. That number is 308-9564. 308-9564. Again, just a few minutes, so go ahead and call. 308-9564.
We have Ann calling in from Ladson. Thank you for listening today. And thanks to all those of you that have called in today. We are so thrilled that you have taken out a portion of your Sunday afternoon to let the Bible speak into your heart. And we hope and pray that God has been glorified and his word is all that you are hearing. Anne asked this question. She says, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, when it speaks of women to keep silent, does it speak of women on the radio who speak in tongues? Does it apply to women saying amen or hallelujah in service? Well, of course, what we're trying to do is to let the Bible speak. And so we would direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34, 35, and 36, where it talks about women in church service, the way that they are to be heard or not heard. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, 35, and 36, where it brings out, let your women keep silent in churches, for it's not permitted to them to speak, but they are to be submissive, as also says the law. And so there was obviously abuse there. And, of course, you mentioned 1 Timothy chapter 2, where it talks that they are not to teach nor have authority or usurp authority over a man, but to be in silent. And so there again we see the it's not saying something bad against man, I mean against a woman, but actually it's putting the burden of responsibility on the man. That's the curse of, that man has to lead in these circumstances, and it's not a curse against the women. And so please don't take that out of context. Also, you will find in 1 Corinthians 14 the teaching about saying amen. And so I hope that has been helpful, and we want you to know that we are trying to let the Bible speak to all the questions that we have today. And so we must find the answers there. We're just about totally out of time. We do want you to know that you should enroll in the correspondence course if you have not yet. And there is an operator standing by right now at 553-5157. And thus you'll be able to enroll in that correspondence course and be able to receive the information that we send free of charge. And again, that number is 553-5157. And we also mentioned if you're wanting information on how to prepare for heaven, how to prepare for that day, then you call that number again and we'll send that information to you. 553-5157. We want everyone to know that we're thankful that you have listened this afternoon. We want to also thank Laron and Malcolm for helping us out, the technicians here, as well as Al. Always stand by, Al. And this is Let the Bible Speak. Until next week, this is Ricky and Nick bidding you a pleasant afternoon.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm leaving, rejoicing all the way. I can hardly wait for that eternal glorious day. I am reading your
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith. We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.